It is quite an exciting time golf-wise. We just wrapped up the Western Amateur yesterday at the Glenview Club, and we get ready for the start of the Illinois Open at Stonebridge Country Club tomorrow, Len. So exciting golf time, and I understand the Zeme machine is on its way back to Illinois for these big golf events.
We will be there for the Illinois Open, that's for sure. I won't make that first round, I don't think, but I'll be around and following it closely. I tell you, the Western Amateur, it's a funny thing. These three events in a row there, it's been quite good. The Illinois State Amateur, followed by the Western Amateur, followed by the Illinois Open. That's a good run of golf for the Chicago area. I have always felt that the Western Amateur had the best competitive format in golf. 72 holes with two cuts involved in stroke play, and then 16 matches and match play. It's very grueling, very physical test for those guys. But a lot of great players have won that event. And I've had in the past made it a point to try to walk the final with the last two players in the last match. But living in Florida now, that hasn't been possible. But still, it may be the best test of golf, pro or amateur, anywhere.
Well, Len, exciting last couple of days. I was there to see some outstanding matches, including the championship match on Saturday afternoon between Massachusetts resident Michael Thor Bjornsson, who is heading into his second year at Stanford, against Gordon Sargent from Alabama, but he's going to attend Vanderbilt University. He just graduated high school, and he was the only one of the four finalists that did not have a spot in next week's U.S. Amateur at Oakmont outside of Pittsburgh. So he was hoping that he could put together a good enough run, especially in the match play, to earn enough points. And you got to believe he has, with second place finish against somebody like Thor Bjornsson. And, you know, they had a really good match going through about 10 holes. Thor Bjornsson jumped out in front, three up, and Sargent won a couple holes, and all of a sudden it's only a one-hole lead, and we're into the back nine. But no sooner did the momentum seem to change, it flipped right back with Thor Bjornsson's birdie on the par 3 11th hole after Sargent had actually hit a good shot in there under 25 feet from the cup. And then Thor Bjornsson, maybe about a 18 to 20 footer. And Sargent misses his. Thor Bjornsson makes his. It goes back to two, and then it goes to three, and it goes to four. And a couple of halved holes later, it's all over.
Well, Stanford has produced some great players. This is apparently the latest version. I mean, you know, that was Tiger School. And, you know, they're good players. They've come a long way to play in the Western Amateur, but they're all quality players. You can never rule those guys out.
Well, I am hoping that Gordon Sargent, who seems like a great kid, and he's looking forward to coming back and playing next year. And I believe Michael Thor Bjornsson will also come back next year. You know, you've got kids with 3 and 4 years of college left. They're both targeting, as of now, their return to the Western Amateur, which will be at the Exmoor Country Club in Highland Park. Exmoor pushed back a few years back, I believe in 2018, because they were selected to host the Senior Players Championship on the Men's Champions Tour. So they swapped dates, and now their turn is up, and they're back on the clock now, as they say at the draft. And they're hosting next, late next July and early August.
Yeah, that's a good site. Exmoor's been a good site for a lot of big events. It's got a lot of history, maybe not as much as the Glen Club, but a lot of history over the years. You know, that's another factor in this particular Western Amateur, that I don't remember a case in the past where three past champions were in the field this year, and none of them made the finals. I mean, we had the success story of them all a couple of years ago, the NHL referee Rank. I mean, he would say he was, very good. Texas, the Texas player before him, Cole Hammer, yeah. And then we had a defending champion, too. So this was a, we had a very experienced, this may be, I think at WGA, some of those people indicated to me, this may be one of their strongest fields in many, many years. So it was a good tournament, but I'm ready to look ahead. I mean, the Illinois Open has always been one of my favorite events. It's a different group of players, obviously. In fact, it's kind of a disappointing, I think, that Ethan Farnham from Crystal Lake, he didn't want to enter the, he didn't feel that it was worth entering the Western Amateur, that he wasn't sure he'd get in or not. But, you know, he's playing for some very significant history. Number one, he is he's only the 10th player in 90 years to be a repeat champion in the Illinois State Amateur. And now this week he tries to become only the third player to win the State Amateur and the State Open in the same year. So he'll be the guy that everybody watches at Stonebridge. And Stonebridge, I'm really excited about Stonebridge getting back in the tournament scene. That club had got off to a great start with the Champions Tour players and the LPGA events in the 90s and the early 2000s. And I'm glad to see they're back in tournament golf. They've got a course that really, really is a treat for that kind of competition.
I wanted to make one final note here about the Western Amateur. The WGA, the Western Golf Association, worked with the Golf Channel and did a streaming broadcast of some of the late matches. And I saw only a few minutes of it in the clubhouse, but people that watched it were telling me wonderful things about it. So I have to believe that we might see more of that coming up in the future. So if anybody did watch it that's listening to the podcast and they want to send Len or myself some thoughts on it, we'd love to hear from you. And I'll tell you what, Len, I think the Glenview Club was an excellent site for the Western Amateur. And from what I hear from some of the members there, they're telling the WGA that they are welcome back a little quicker than the 100 years or so here, over 100 years it took to come back, because the Glenview Club was the original host of the event back in 1899. So I assume that the Western Amateur should come back sooner. And, you know, it was great talking to some of the players. They were talking about the architects who back in the day, and yeah, sure, there's been some renovations over the years, but they said they created a design over 100 years ago that stands up to today's players and today's technology. And, you know, that says a lot about a golf course right there.
Oh, absolutely it does. I mean, we've got a number of older courses Glenview is a prime example, of course. But, you know, they were great courses right when golf came to Chicago. I mean, they've withstood the tests of time. It's, you know, Chicago Golf Club obviously is one, Glenview Club. Exmoor's a pretty old club, not quite as old as some, but it's really a neat thing about golf when these courses could still show their teeth, show that they're still relevant. Those architects of many decades ago obviously knew what they were doing.
Len, one of the great architects from years back, maybe not 100 years ago, but at least about 60 years ago or so, was Dick Wilson, who helped create COG 4. And one of his other designs, the South Course at NCR, which stands for National Cash Register Company, that was based in the Dayton area years ago. As you and I said here, a week ago, it did come out from the USGA about Wednesday or so that next year's U.S. Senior Women's Open will be played at NCR in Dayton, and a great place for that championship to play. We have Jane Geddes, who I'm hoping that you and I will get to see at French Lick in a couple of weeks at the Senior LPGA. She won the U.S. Women's Open there, and I think it would be very interesting to talk to her to see what she remembers, and I'm sure she'd be very excited to go back and compete for the U.S. Senior Women's Open title at NCR next summer.
Well, you know, Jane has got herself a load there. She's now in charge, taking over from Jane Blaylock as the executive director of the Legends Tour. Jane did a great job of Jane Blaylock did a great job of getting golf, tournament golf started for the 50 and over players. Actually, 45 and over were what was the age standard for them. And, you know, they need more. And I hope Jane Geddes can keep up the pace that Jane Blaylock set for about the last 10, 12 years, because those players deserve a place to play.
Interesting to see if the USGA announces a couple more years of where that tournament is. They basically didn't announce next year's site until it was less than a year away. And I'm hoping that, they'll announce at least one or two years out. There was some talk down in your southern neck of the woods in Florida that Innisbrook and Copperhead could be a future site within a couple of years. And I'm assuming that the championship would move to a fall date. I know that was one thing that Mike Davis told me some years ago, is they thought that the U.S. Senior Women's Open could be the one U.S. Open that could move around, not always be right around the same time of the year. And the thought was maybe in the fall sometimes, and this way it could be played in states like Florida, Arizona, Texas, places that don't normally host U.S. Opens.
Well, I tell you, Innisbrook would be a great site for that. And it doesn't even have to be the Copperhead course. I mean, they've got five courses there, and they've got another one that I think is quite good that would be very suitable for the women to play on. They have a team event that isn't held every year anymore, but it's called the Handa Cup. It's a Ryder Cup style thing that I've been to a couple of them. They're good competition. There it's a match of American players against players from around the world, and they have played one of the first versions of that. They used Innisbrook for that competition, which, I guess it goes back about 10 years. But so the women, they know about Innisbrook. And Larry Packard, of course, the Chicago designer of all four courses over there at Innisbrook, he's left a great legacy for himself. I think it'd be great to have a tournament played over there.
You know what, Len, bouncing back to the week ahead here, I think that it'll be very interesting to see how Stonebridge plays out, after the addition of, I'm calling him the Benkuski Bomber Tees. Local architect Mike Benkuski has put in 8 new tees, and Brad Slocum, the Illinois PGA tournament director, can really back these players up if he wants. A Stonebridge that only a year ago was barely 6,800 yards is now 7,200 yards. 400 yards have been added, and I played from some of those back tees, and even these younger kids and our best section pros are going to have their work cut out for them if they want to be competitive, if the Illinois PGA elects to really push back the yardage on this week's Illinois Open.
Stonebridge has got an interesting history there. They opened their course with the Tom Fazio design. Opened in 1989, and right off the bat, they landed, I think 2 years later, they landed the Champions Tour, then called the Senior PGA Tour, and they played 5 years of those guys having their tournaments there. They had a Pro-Am, one round in the Pro-Am that had Arnold Palmer playing with Michael Jordan, drew big crowds for that. The Champions Tour moved away to other sites, some of them in Chicago. Right around, I think, 2002 through 2004, the LPGA came in with a Kellogg-Keebler Classic, and Annika Sorenstam won the first two of them, and Gary Webb the third one. So that was very unusual for a club that new to have that kind of stature in the tournament world. And then the membership decided that, they were going to back off of tournaments for a while, and that was turned out to be a long while, because the Illinois Open this week is the first really big event held at that club since 2004. So it's going to be great to see how Stonebridge holds up. I thought a lot of it back in the day when it was hosting a lot of tournaments, and haven't been there since. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the players think of it.
They're planning on using their driver probably a little bit. bit more than they had. They might appreciate, you know, last year, White Eagle was a great location, great support from the membership and even the community. But, you know, those first few holes do have a lot of water on it. And I think some of the players will like having the opportunity of playing a couple of holes before they see any water on the golf course. So that is a good thing. Hey, Len, we only have a couple minutes left on our special edition of Zeman Spears this week. That's going to be a little quicker edition. But just a couple of news and notes, and we'll close it out. But breaking news, Kemper Lakes adding some yardage this fall, about 200 to 250 yards on several holes. And as a result, yardage there will be up over 7,500 yards. No tournament scheduled there, but you have to wonder if they're trying to get back in the mix to get one.
Well, and well, they should. I mean, they did well in hosting the LPGA. Well, not the LPGA, it was the Women's PGA Championship few years back, you know,
KPMG,
they had you know, 1989, of course, they had the PGA Championship when they were pretty young, of course. So I, you know, it's a shame that Kemper has been off the tour of national tournaments. They, for a long time, they were the site of the Illinois PGA Match Play Championship, but Kemper is one of the great courses in Chicago. It really is. It's been that way since the day it opened, and it'll be great to see some big competition come back over there. I hope it happens.
Well, Len, in the last minute that we have here, believe it or not, stop me if you've heard this one before, but there are rumors again around the Chicagoland area. Conversations are happening at Butler National about their membership plan that currently excludes women, and perhaps with some of the other big-name clubs around the country finally admitting women, including Pine Valley and Augusta National. Could Butler be next to join the list?
Well, I'll believe that when I see it, and I don't think it's. I think it's going to. I don't think it'll happen. I mean, they're. I think the Butler people. I don't know, some other people want to throw a little teaser out there that this could happen. That the women, and I think it's really a publicity ploy to get people talking about what is one of Chicago's very best courses, but it won't be a tournament site as long as they keep the men's only policy going. So I don't hope put much stock in that changing.
Well, they've been promised, apparently, as the story goes, a U.S. Open if they ever change their policy. And who knows, maybe that's what it would take to see a U.S. Open come back to Chicago, which the next Open one's around 2029. There's some thoughts about the Midwest. There was some talk about Erin Hills. We'll have to see if Chicago could get back on the map by then. If so, it would have been 26 years since the last U.S. Open at Olympia Fields. With that, Len, we will call it a week. I will look forward to seeing you at Stonebridge for this week's Illinois Open Championship.
We'll be there.